Getting ready to buy or sell a home in 30, 60, or 90 days? Then check out BundleSelect.com to find out how you could save 20% or more on your entire transaction. Save on real estate, lending, and title. With BundleSelect.com, technology and a personal concierge are at your service to save you time and money. Bundle Select's hand-picked team of experts will compete for your business, so you'll save thousands of dollars by bundling all of these services. BundleSelect.com gives you all the control, including using your own realtor. I'm Joe Kucher with Real Estate Radio Live, and I have been on the radio educating consumers for years. By bundling services like real estate, lending, and title, you could save tens of thousands of dollars. Act now, and this new model could save you money on your move, lower your interest rate, or cover your closing costs. Visit BundleSelect.com. That's BundleSelect.com.
The estimated minimum savings are based on a comparison with a national average. Individual results may vary, and the estimated savings are not guaranteed. Bundle Select, Inc. is a licensed real estate broker. California Bureau of Real Estate Broker, license number 0046-6902.
Welcome to Real Estate Radio Live, an informative and engaging podcast discussing everything you need to know about the world of real estate. Your host, Joe Kucera, provides you with insight and guidance on how to buy, sell, finance, and invest in real estate. He also offers real estate tax management strategies, new construction advice, home improvement tips, and much, much more. And now, to guide you around the world of real estate, here's your host and Real Estate Radio Live team leader, Joe Kucera.
Welcome in, Joe Kucera with Real Estate Radio Live. Thanks again for continuing to follow the show. We appreciate, for those that are streaming live, watching us on Facebook, we appreciate the participation. Keep the updates. Let us know what you think. We always like to hear from you. During the week, a couple different ways you can reach me, 408-838-9060, or you could always email Joe at reradiolive.com. For more information, you can go to reradiolive.com and download the podcast. That's the best thing to do here with the show. It's great that people follow us. We love that. We want to continue to grow that audience. But the main thing is to download the podcast. That way you can get the show anytime you want at your convenience. You can go to iTunes and just enter Real Estate Radio Live anywhere, Google Plus, and you can find the podcast, and we'd love to have you do that to follow the show. Most of you know the focus of the show has always been education, information. We will continue to do that. We have great guests like we have today. Content, information for what the primary objective really is the same. Educate the consumer, inform the consumer, so that you make wise decisions in and around your real estate. I've said for years, the goal is not really to make people the expert. Of course, if you want to be an expert, that's great, but to give you enough information so you can make wise decisions or choose the right partners to use in your real estate transactions. All right, let me invite my guest in today, good friend of mine, James Shoup, who is with the Bank of the Internet, and he's an account executive with Bank of the Internet, and we've been working with you guys for many years now, haven't we?
Many years.
Many, many years. Many. So specifically, I wanted Jay on the show today because we have a couple of kind of unique topics that are coming to play specific in this marketplace. I know most of the listenership is in the Bay Area, but a lot of it's California, maybe in other states. You might be thinking these crazy guys in California, the topic they're going to have today. Right. You know, the topic today overall is how to buy a home without selling the home first, how to buy a home without selling your home first in a market where the inventory is really, really low. Jay's got some programs specifically that he's very, they have some great niches that help us with that. They've had for years. We're going to talk about that. We're also going to talk about other types of financing. Someone that doesn't have traditional income, you want to use asset for income. Someone that may want to cross-collateralize, we're going to talk a little bit about that. Or use assets to cross. There's a number of different things that Jay and his company does that are not the conventional financing that most of you are used to. So if we could start, Jay, first, maybe if you could give our listeners a little bit about your background and then your current roles and responsibilities with Bank of the Internet.
Sure. As you mentioned, I am an account executive at B of I Federal Bank. We're also known as Bank of Internet. I was a retail originator for 20 years, walking in the shoes that you walk in prior to becoming an account executive. So it's given me a unique insight into how to help originators structure deals, how to build relationships with real estate agents so that they can create new opportunities that might have not otherwise existed, which we're going to talk about today when we talk about buying before you sell. And then just in general, my philosophy as yours is to be an educator, and I really enjoy this process of giving real estate agents, borrowers, and loan officers something other than the conversation of great rates and fast service.
No, it's perfect. And especially in markets like this, Jay, where you have, Silicon Valley, high tech, you have people that, retire early. You have people that have a lot of money and don't have traditional jobs. You have people that have a lot of assets, but maybe they have some credit challenges. There's so many different things. And most of us, in our industry are used to working in this little tiny box, black and white. Okay, if you don't fit in that box, then sorry. But that's what's great about having these products for sure. And as Jay mentioned, I know we have a lot of real estate agents that follow the show. So this is really about you, too. If you're out there listening to this, struggling with having those buyers, I mean, how many times, if you're a real estate agent, have you been faced with a meeting with a potential client and they say, well, yeah, I'd love to be able to go buy a home, but I don't dare do that without selling my home because what if I'm homeless? What if I can't find a place? What if I sell my home and then I'm out of a home? I mean, all these things come into play, right?
Yeah, absolutely. When I talk to real estate agents specifically about that topic, mm-hmm. what are they doing to create more listing opportunities? Mm-hmm. And I will ask them, do they have a book of business of clients that would be willing to sell today if they knew they could qualify and acquire the new home now? And the answer is always yes. And then I ask them, why are they not willing to sell now? Like, what are they afraid of? You know, they put the sign in the yard and it sells too quick, and then they're homeless. Mm-hmm. Or oftentimes, maybe they don't want to move more than one time. They sell their home. Maybe the existing buyer doesn't allow for a rent back or something, so they've got to move out somewhere else before they acquire the new home. So we said, okay, what's a solution to this? And what we've created is a way for them to acquire the new property now, the subject property that they want to purchase. So you pre-approve them for the purchase. And the way that we do that is we don't consider the departing debt on the existing residence, right? So the key is they need a listing agreement and 6 months reserves. So we want to make sure that they can handle that debt for a set period of time. In your market, it's unlikely that a home, if it's priced appropriately, is going to be listed and not sold within 6 months. So we anticipate the exit strategy is a wise one. So with 6 months reserves and a listing agreement, they're able to get pre-approved, purchase the property non-contingent, right? So they're not contingent on the sale of their other home. And for your real estate friends out there, it turns into a listing agreement. It turns into a new sale. And if they're really sharp, it also can turn into a two-sided transaction if they bring the buyer in on listing that didn't exist before. So that's it in a nutshell.
Well, let's walk through it as easy as we can, or I should say as simple as we can, as people are obviously viewing, but even more importantly, more people would be downloading and listening to this. So let's kind of walk through a scenario, a hypothetical, an example. For instance, we have a client that owns a current home. Let's say it's, worth $1.5 million roughly in a market like this. And maybe they owe a couple hundred thousand on it still. They're looking, Jay, to go purchase, and they fell in love with a home that's worth, $2.5 million, let's say, right?
So you don't want to use round numbers so
I
can do the math in my head.
Let's go 1 and 3. Is that easier for you?
Yeah, let's go with that.
$1 million. No, that's a good point. How about a 1.235? Poor Jay. He's going, come on, Joe, give me a break here.
Let's go 1 and 2.
Okay. Let's do a $1 million existing property, right? And then looking to purchase a $2 million.
Perfect.
And a couple hundred grand on the existing property. And, good clients have good credit scores and they have the ability to put 10 to 15% down easily. But again, here's the situation. I don't want to let go of this house until I know I could get this one. So kind of walk us through the steps of what the client would expect and how the math works on that.
You got it. So that's a perfect scenario for this approach. So in your $2 million purchase, our guidelines require that you've got 30% down, right? So I would need $600K in order to pull that deal off. Now, in your example, the existing home is $1 million and they owe a couple hundred thousand. So that borrower could do one of two things. They could allow us to cross-collateralize, meaning that we're going to record our loan against both properties, right, and just leave the existing debt as it is. Or they could use this strategy that we talked about, this non-contingent strategy, with a listing agreement and 6 months reserves on the departing debt. Most clients in that scenario, because they have so much equity available to them, would do one of two things. They would either refinance and pull out the existing cash to be able to put it down to make up the 30% for my acquisition, or they'll get an equity line, a low or no cost equity line to be able to access that equity. So it can be debt against the property, to accomplish the 30% down. It can be cross-collateralization, meaning I'm recording my loan against both properties to access the required down payment. Or it can also be gift funds, or it can be assets that are collateralized as well. So sometimes if somebody's got money in the bank, or they've got, you know, in your marketplace, Apple, Google, Facebook, you know, all of these tech companies where they've got stock, but maybe they don't want to liquidate it because it's in a season of climbing.
Yeah.
Say, okay, well, let's collateralize those assets and accomplish the same end.
Right. So you bring up a good point. So you'll cross property.
Yes.
Assets.
Yep.
What other things? I know land kind of depends, right? I mean, that's that really depends on the nature of the property and all that other stuff.
Correct. We're not too interested in cross-collateralizing vacant land.
Okay.
Again, it depends on what the exit strategy for the borrower is. So we look at each one of these on a case-by-case basis. And when it comes to crossing properties, usually the exit strategy is the liquidation of that property.
Right.
So at some point it's going to sell, they're going to pay back the loan, and then we'll release our interest in that property.
Okay.
And land typically takes a little bit longer to sell. Not so much in Silicon Valley, but in most markets, a piece of land for sale is going to take a little bit more time than a single family home.
Okay. So what if I want to do this and I have a second home in Tahoe or Southern California or a rental property or something? I mean, how does that work? Could one still do the same type of thing? Does it matter what the property, what the state it's in, or what kind of parameters?
No, as a nationwide lender, so we're in all 50 states, the property, it needs to meet some criteria. Typically, it needs to be owned free and clear or have a very low mortgage debt, even debt that I might want to pay off.
Okay.
And then the key is the effective loan to value, which is basically just taking the total debt and dividing it into the values of the property.
Okay.
Is that number at 60% or below?
Got it.
That's a threshold for me. Now, the actual debt on the property or the actual new loan can be as high as a 90% loan to value. So 10% cash in, and then that cross collateralized asset can be that other
30%. Okay.
I want an effective loan to value. So the sum of the loan, the debt, divided into the property's values. So if that's one, two, or even three properties, I wouldn't want to cross a bunch of properties.
Okay.
That becomes not only from a portfolio management perspective, it's very challenging to release collateral and go through all these things, and the document sets are difficult, and then you've got title insurance and all these other properties. Typically, we want to cross one property, but it's going to be one, maybe two.
All right. So you're, in essence, you're saying, depending on the properties you're crossing, a customer or client could put as little as 10% down on the purchase property.
Correct.
Is that correct?
That is correct.
Subject property.
Yes. And that can be in the form of, in many cases, it can be their own cash. It could be a gift, assuming that we can source and season that money. And then again, if you've got somebody that is going to be liquidating a property, it can be in the form of a you know, cash from an equity line on the existing home. Some people already have those equity lines in existence, and they just haven't borrowed against them, right? So they've got to open an available equity line. That's a perfect scenario. If that borrower's got that line already in place, it's enough to scratch out a check for 30% down on the acquisition property, and then we just don't consider the debt for qualifying purposes, which raises a question oftentimes from the borrower. It's like, okay, yeah, I'm qualified, but now I'm going to be carrying these two loans.
Right,
what do I do?
Right.
And that's where it comes the professionalism of your real estate agent to be able to list and sell your property quickly in the market that you're in.
Right.
No, so that you're not carrying that debt too long.
That's a good point. But as we're let's talk about qualifying, because that does someone will look at that loan and, well, gee, this is great. I can make it happen, but I'm carrying a bigger loan that I really like to. So one of the reasons you guys could do that is you remove that liability potential and exiting property, so you don't count that against their debt.
Correct.
The other thing now, I know what you guys do, and we'll get into a little bit some different components of it, but you guys are also a portfolio lender, which means you make decisions on your own where you finance, what you do to a certain extent. My point is, in our world that we live in for the most part, the maximum debt-to-income ratio, anybody will go, is like 43%, right? They have heartaches and heart pains when anything's over 43%. Same before, maybe, you know, some of the Fannie Freddie stuff will go to just under 49, but any kind of jumbo stuff, it's hard to find decent rates if you get over 43. So talk a little bit about the parameters of you guys when you look at files and you look really, what I would say in some senses, I would call what you guys do is common sense financing.
Sure.
Because you look at the entire portfolio and client and assets and not just in this little narrow box.
That's true. Sometimes common sense underwriting as a terminology is overused.
It's true.
There is an element of it makes sense.
Makes sense.
And here's why. So in the example that you described, if somebody's got excellent global liquidity, meaning that they've got cash flow, they've got reserves, they've got other assets outside of their real estate, they've got great credit, or if they have credit challenges, they've solved those challenges. You know, who didn't have credit challenges in 2008, right? So we get that. And then when we're looking at that overall picture, obviously we need to document the borrower's ability to repay, which is a significant component, but also we're going to analyze all of those other criteria before making a decision versus traditional underwriting or automated underwriting where it just, you know, it's fed into a computer and it doesn't fit into the box and it's a yes or it's a no.
Right.
With us, it might be a no, it might be a maybe, and then how can we strengthen the borrower's qualifying based upon their documentation to approve the loan?
Yeah. So, and again, I'm not going to, I know every file is different, but for example, if you guys are looking at a file and the global case or the look of this file, they have strong assets, good credit scores, they have some properties to cross. If their DTI is on the high side traditionally in what we see in our market, that's something you guys might consider because when you're looking at the entire profile of that client, it may make sense.
Absolutely. Yeah, and again, we look at those on a case-by-case basis. Right. We have published guidelines, and a borrower that has significant liquidity, one example that we might apply is we might say, okay, they've got $2 million in their Charles Schwab account. Mm-hmm. Well, we have an asset depletion calculation that we can apply to that. So let's say, Joe, you're $2 million and you're 55 or under, we're going to convert that into an income calculation of 10 grand a month, or almost 11. So if you had high debt-to-income ratios, let's say you were exceeding that 45 or even higher, now I've got an additional $10,000 in qualifying income to add to that number, your debt-to-income ratio is going to fall below that threshold. And again, that's going to be a make-sense deal.
Yeah. One of the things I want to note, and we're going to take a break here in just a minute, one of the things I want to note before I do that that just came to mind, keep in mind, please, when we're talking about this, this is not subprime lending. Some people, I'm hearing this more and more these days, Joe, is subprime coming back and no doc loans coming back? And this is nothing like that. So I just want to be clear. They're still looking at assets, still looking at income, still looking at credit score. The difference is this is a portfolio lender that's not Fannie Freddie. They're not, it's not a traditional conventional loan that most of people are used to seeing. And in markets like this, and I'm not sure, what other markets do you see other than California that use a lot of products like you guys
have? As I mentioned, we are, because we're a federal institution, we're in all 50 states.
Right.
We are also what's considered a jumbo or a super jumbo lender with loan amounts up to $5 million and even up to $10 million as an example. So typically those markets are going to be California coastal, Florida, New York, Texas, you know, major metropolitan areas where higher sales prices and higher loan amounts are the norm.
Got it. All right. All right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick break. I'm going to come back again with Jane Shoup. He is with Bank of the Internet. He's account executive. We're talking about how to buy a home before selling your home. We're crossing properties. When we come back, we're going to talk more about some of the other niches that Jay and his company offer. This is Joe Cachera with Real Estate Radio Live. Stick with us. We'll be back with you to continue in just a minute.
For more information on today's program, visit reradiolive.com. That's reradiolive.com.
Getting ready to buy or sell a home in 30, 60, or 90 days? Then check out BundleSelect.com to find out how you could save 20% or more on your entire transaction. Save on real estate, lending, and title. With BundleSelect.com, technology and a personal concierge are at your service to save you time and money. Bundle Select's hand-picked team of experts will compete for your business, so you'll save thousands of dollars by bundling all of these services. BundleSelect.com gives you all the control, including using your own realtor. I'm Joe Cachera with Real Estate Radio Live, and I have been on the radio educating consumers for years. By bundling services like real estate, lending, and title, you could save tens of thousands of dollars. Act now, and this new model could save you money on your move, lower your interest rate, or cover your closing costs. Visit BundleSelect.com. That's BundleSelect.com.
The estimated minimum savings are based on a comparison with the national average. Individual results may vary, and the estimated savings are not guaranteed. Bundle Select, Inc. is a licensed real estate broker. California Bureau of Real Estate Broker, license number 0046-6902.
Welcome back to Real Estate Radio Live. For more information on today's topic or guests, just visit reradiolive.com. That's reradiolive.com. Again, your host for today's edition of Real Estate Radio Live, Joe Cuchera.
Welcome back in. Joe Cuchera with Real Estate Radio Live. Today we have in studio James Shoup, who is the account representative for Bank of the Internet. And we're talking about how the main topic is how to buy a home without selling first. But there's much, much more here. But that's really the primary discussion today. The reason why is I'm getting several calls. I know it's not just me, the industry in general. I talk to realtors all the time. Jay sees this all the time in the California market across the board. Here's what we have. We have the reality is this. We have low inventory. So you have the supply and demand here in the marketplace in most places now in California where it's pent-up buyers. Buyers are looking. Sellers, homes are limited, and there's just not enough inventory on the market. So a lot of the reasons for that, low interest rates over the last several years, people don't want to exit them. Baby boomers, maybe, you know, do I really want to move and pay a big tax fine? Not fine, but a huge tax bill on some of the, when you move and sell, a lot of the equity. Some of these people have been sitting on equity, Jay. You know, sitting in the Bay Area, it's amazing. No one in the right mind would ever say they saw this coming. If they did, they're crazy, right? But some people have owned homes 20, 30, 40 years and, you know, bought them for less than $100,000. In some cases, they could be worth $2, $3, $4 million, depending on what city and locations they're in now. Mm-hmm. And so they're sitting on a lot of equity in their homes. And this is one of the reasons why this program works, even for people. And you know, let's talk about that for a moment, because I'll tell you the other thing that comes up is someone that's either retired or close to retirement, or let's take a person that's retired and that has this home with all this equity, and it's really difficult for these people sometimes to get a traditional loan financing when they're retired.
Sure.
It just is. Maybe they don't have the pension that they wish they had, and the Social Security is not what they had, but they have equity in their home, and maybe they have some assets.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk a little bit about pledging assets.
Okay, yeah. So there's two elements that can work for a borrower that has those characteristics.
Okay.
So the most common scenario that we see with a retired borrower is that they've got some form of retirement, let's say if it's pension or Social Security. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's a couple grand or $3,000 a month, and they want to purchase a home that maybe it's $1 million, and they're going to put 30% down,
mm-hmm.
right? Well, that income by itself wouldn't necessarily allow them to qualify.
Mm-hmm.
The way that we approach that, as I mentioned, we can use what's called an asset depletion calculation. So this retiree has this $1 million in the bank. We're going to convert that into an income number. We're going to add it to their existing reported mm-hmm. income from their retirement, and now they can qualify for significantly more home. So that's the asset depletion.
Okay.
Now, in a pledge, the way that a pledge works, it allows a borrower to put a lower down payment and then to pledge the assets to make up the difference between my required down payment.
Okay.
In this example, if we were using that $1 million purchase, mm-hmm. $1 million purchase, I need $300,000 down to meet my 70% loan to value guideline.
Okay.
Well, if that borrower says, you know, my stocks are doing great, my assets are growing faster than I can count them, and I only want to put 10% cash in, and I believe this market's going to continue, and I believe that the assets are going to continue mm-hmm. to appreciate, we'll say, okay, let's go ahead and take in our $1 million purchase.
Okay.
We're going to put $100,000 down in cash.
Right.
I'm going to loan them $900,000.
Okay.
And then they're going to pledge their stocks or securities or ideally mm-hmm. cash. Remember, we are a depository bank of the internet. So bank of internet, there's no that in there. They will put a deposit in the bank.
Okay.
And we hold that for 36 months just as additional collateral.
I see.
So it pays interest. They earn interest on it. It's significantly higher rates in most cases than wherever they've got that cash now.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end of 36 months, they provide an appraisal. They document that the equity position now is 70% loan to value, mm-hmm. 30% equity, and then we'll release that pledge.
Got
so
it.
We just release the collateral hold. Another dynamic to that is that anyone can pledge on behalf of the borrower.
Oh.
And so in my conversations with real estate agents, we talk about how, you know, you've got a parent who is helping their kid or wants to help their kid buy this $1 million home.
Mm-hmm.
And they love them,
mm-hmm.
but they don't want to give them $300,000,
that's
right?
A good point. Yeah.
So the parent says, okay, here's what we'll do. We'll do $100,000 down as the gift, and then we'll put the pledge in place mm-hmm. for the other $200,000, but it's in the parent's name
yep.
just as additional collateral.
Yep.
and they don't have to gift that money, so there's no consequence other than, of course, their kids need to make their mortgage payments, right? And assuming that the payments are made on time over those 36 months, they get me an appraisal at that time, request to have the pledge removed, parents get their money back, kids have their house, everybody lives happily ever after.
There you go. Right? One of the other benefits that I want to talk just a minute about, or so too, is you guys do have interest-only loans, which is a big deal for, we call them cash flow arms. Mm-hmm. A lot of people that understand money and financing love those interest-only loans. Unfortunately, you know, they got a bad name and a bad rap, the meltdown like a lot of stuff did. And it's really about what type of mortgage, understanding what it is. I had them on my properties for years. I loved them. You know, I mean, a lot of people use them. Again, if they're self-employed, they have their income fluctuates. Sometimes you have some of the smartest people love those loans because they could use them in different ways. And one of the benefits of, talk a little bit about the difference in an interest-only loan. Where if you want to come in and let's say you have a $2 million interest-only loan, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden you come across some stock options or whatever, and you said, you know what? I'd like to buy that loan down $500,000 or $1 million and just get myself down to $1 million loan. What happens with your loans on an interest-only loan when someone wants to do that?
Yeah, let's address that from both sides. So the first piece, the stigma of an interest-only loan, right, which during the heyday or during the period of time, you know, say between 2003 and 2006 or 7, you know, mm-hmm. the bad actors, you know, getting loans for borrowers that they were not qualified for. What we do when we approach an interest-only loan, we take a very conservative approach. First, we'll only loan 60% of the property's value, so we've got a 40% equity protection for the bank. Mm-hmm. And then with regards to the borrower, we apply what's called a 25-year amortization calculation to determine their qualifying rate, right?
Okay.
So we're going to make sure that if they have this loan in place for 5 years and it does adjust and interest rates go up, mm-hmm. that they still have the capacity to repay the loan.
Okay.
Now, as far as what happens to your client who has a $2 million loan and they want to pay down an extra $500,000, because these loans are interest only, they recast monthly. So anytime the principal loan balance is reduced, the monthly payment for the next month is reduced by that accordingly. It's just a simple math equation. It's the interest rate times the loan amount divided by 360 or 12, depending on the math you're using, to determine the monthly amount.
Right. And one of the reasons why that's really important is that most people, you have to understand, if you have a 30-year fixed or a fully amortized loan, some investors may not let you put a one-time lump sum down and allow that to recast. Now, some will say, well, we'll allow it once in the lifetime, or mm-hmm. but there's no guarantee there. And so the thing to understand about the interest-only loan is that it offers some flexibility, and that's flexibility kind of goes in line with some of the products and programs that Jay and his company offer. And that's really why we're talking today, is being flexible and understanding for you borrowers, buyers out there, and real estate agents, there are options and opportunities out there. Believe me, if you partner with the right people, and of course that's us, anybody that Jay works in all of California, most of your clients, you probably have a lot in California, right? A lot of your clients.
Mm-hmm.
So the point is, they're out there, the options are out there, and we're running out of time today. But Jay, I want to thank you for coming on.
My pleasure.
To summarize this thing, I would say, and maybe you would say, that the options and the programs are out there, right? And be open-minded.
Get yourself educated. Yeah, and don't disqualify yourself.
Right.
I mean,
good point.
That's why it's so important to have a conversation with Joe, with a mortgage professional. Don't disqualify yourself thinking, I can't sell my home or I can't qualify, until you've had a conversation with them to identify where the challenges are, and then if there's a niche program or something that we may have that can solve that problem.
Very good. Thanks again, Jay.
My pleasure.
Great show. This is Joe Kuchera with Real Estate Radio Live. Thanks again for checking in. Remember, for more information, you could always go to reradiolive.com. Until next time, take care.
You've been listening to Real Estate Radio Live. For more information on today's program, visit reradiolive.com. That's reradiolive.com. Subscribe to our podcast. Discover more at reradiolive.com.